Welcome to a new episode of RTFM, the last podcast on Earth. We're here to talk about an RPG book that we read. My name is Aaron King, and don't find me anywhere for now.
Someday you're going to have to be found. Someday, maybe. I don't know. I'm Max. You can find me everywhere, unfortunately. I'm making up for how unfindable Aaron is. You can find too much of me on the internet, really.
You're probably on LinkedIn now, aren't you?
I'm not, and I'm so mad. I mean, I am. I'm on it. I haven't touched my LinkedIn in over a decade, and I'm so mad because I do have to now, yes. That is the specific site that everybody's been like, you should update your LinkedIn. I'm like, I just don't want to be a LinkedIn person, you know?
You can connect with Max on LinkedIn. Find the link in the show notes.
As you might have heard from that cackle, SA is back with us once again.
Yes, it's my identifiable witch cackle. Hi, this is SA. I use she, her pronouns. You may know me from such hit podcasts as Fiasco, parentheses, hating on, and Blades in the Dark, parentheses, surprisingly less hating on than you may have anticipated.
We're going to have to like get you an RTFM uniform.
I mean, sure.
I guess you are RTFM, the RTFM unicorn now.
Yeah,
RTFM hey, I noticed after dark. You over there podcasting.
Oh, Christ above. when I'm not heckling these two, I am on an actual play podcast called Three of Hearts. It is a mystery romance made by and for queer weirdos. We are, I think, rounding the corner into our last arc, at least of season one. And we have a couple of like really fucking good standalone episodes recently. So if you like the fucked up, weird, goofing, horny energy, you can get more of that at Three of Hearts.
Today we are talking about, what a mouthful, got to make sure I say it right, Mobile Frame Zero Firebrands by D. Vincent Baker and Megway Baker. You may know them from Apocalypse World, which we've done an episode on. This is a story game inspired by the Lego miniatures battling game Mobile Frame Zero by Joshua A.C. Newman. That was released in 2013. This game, I think, came out in 2016. I just realized that my copy in the back says, this is an early version. This is the PAX East 2016 Early Adapters Playbook. So I might not have the same one.
Well, that's the one that I also read. So
right.
Maybe there are important differences.
Yeah, but we'll see.
Yeah, the itch.io version was uploaded in 2019. So got one outlier.
Maybe we're some big differences, I hope. I don't hope. I love this game. I don't know what I'm saying. We're recording at night, and I am solar powered, and so my energy is depleting rapidly.
You got to drink that illicit late afternoon coffee, Aaron.
Yeah, I call it Miller High Life, the champagne of beers.
Izzy's also not in your house stopping you from drinking caffeine.
Yeah. Max is living a real bachelor life right now.
Yep. This is bachelor night one. Bachelor night one right now.
Oh. Is he some kind of like anti-caffeine fairy flitting from house to house, like preventing people from having afternoon coffee? Like what's the deal there?
Just preventing them from having it late enough that it makes sleeping hard.
Stay up late playing Halo.
Yeah, before 3 p.m., as much coffee as possible. After 3 p.m., zero coffee.
Fair.
Mobile Frame Zero Firebrands is a collection of mini games. It comes with a very specific setting, science fiction mech piloting on this planet, torn between three factions. You will get a group of people together to play, and each of you we'll go around and choose one of the games. They are kept to about a two-page spread each with some exceptions. I don't know. It's wild. I love it. It's a weird mutation of Apocalypse World. The games include things like a free-for-all, or meeting sword to sword, or a dance, or a conversation over food. They are prompts that have very structured resolution mechanics that sometimes include flipping coins and kind of winning more coins than an opponent. Sometimes you don't have opponents. There is a solitaire game. Should I just read one of them to give an idea if people haven't read it?
Sure. Is that annoying? No, you can do that.
A dance. Set up. Ask your chosen partner how you two came to be dancing together. Other players can join freely if it makes sense for their characters to be present at the dance. What do you notice about each other? What have you heard? During the dance, anyone can ask anyone for details about the setting, occasion, and circumstances. Conducting the dance. Take turns asking each other questions. And then there's a list of questions on the right page of the spread. Each of you gets to ask the other two questions, taking turns, and then the dance ends. There's some stuff for if other people are involved. Ending the dance. Once every dancer has asked two questions of each of your dancing partners, the dance ends. Questions include, my hair has fallen in front of my ear. Do you touch my face? I lose my place in the dance. Do you let me stumble, or do you draw me back into place? This moment in the dance allows me to step close to you and linger very near. Am I welcome? And there's a bunch of other questions.
This game is the most recommended game to me, I think. And I feel like I have to get that out of the way. Like, I am coming to this as the one who hasn't played this. I read this new literally today. It's the first time I've ever read this. And it is so not even close to anything that I thought it was. And I don't... Are they mini games? I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
So what did you think it was?
I'm not even sure what I thought it was, but the way in which it gets recommended to me is because I frequently say what I would love is I would love a game that had discrete mechanics for different sections of play. And everybody's like, what about Firebrands? And this game does not have discrete mechanics for different sections of games. It has different lists of prompts for different games. But like the games are all like, it's all like the same general concept for the most part through the games. And so I think that was the thing that hit me first, is because, and this is not like the game's fault. This is that everybody has been like, oh, you mean like Firebrands? And then I read this and was like, no, I don't at all mean like Firebrands. That's not actually what I mean, even a little bit. So it was, I think the hype tainted my read on this a little bit.
So you wanted them to be more different.
I wanted them to be more different. This okay. feels like here are a bunch of lists of different prompts, which is fine. I like lists of prompts. That's just not what I feel like I was told it was.
Yeah. So some of the differences, just to try to describe maybe why people told you this. There's an animated disagreement, which is almost like a debate. And two players are debating. The other players play the audience and they assign kind of points to people as this debate goes on. And when the debate ends, whatever proportion of tokens each person holds, they can be confident that the same portion of the audience, real or imaginary, would side with them. And then there is a chase, which is about flipping coins. And there are two sets of prompts and you're working from different ones depending on the turn in the chase. And if the chaser gets three coins before the chasee, they catch up. There's a list of options for that. If the chasee gets more coins, they escape. Other sections, dances. I'm looking at a dance again. It's one of my favorite. Other sections or moves or games don't have any competition or don't have any coins or tokens. It is just a list of questions that are asked and answered. Some are much more about kind of describing an area, and that's kind of it. Like, some of them are descriptive exercises. So yes, they are all prompts.
I feel like they are.
What is a rule book but a wretched use of prompts?
Yeah. I feel like they're about as different to me as like moves, right? It's like, sure, yeah. Some moves have like a pick list and some don't. And, you know, like some moves have roll with the questions and some moves don't. But it's not like an actual, like it's not, there isn't like a dramatically different game happening in each of those quote unquote mini games.
Yeah, I think like, I mean, it depends a little bit on what you mean by game, right? Because I would not recommend Firebrands to you, Max. I don't think it's your vibe. And I know we're a very vibes based people here. But I see where you're coming from, and I agree, right? Like gameplay in each of these is broadly the same. There's some prompts. Some of these may have tokens, some of them may not. But it does feel like different games in the sense of like each turn is a discrete sort of little package with slightly different rules. So in play, it doesn't feel like, oh, this is one game that we're sort of all continuously playing, so much as it feels like, oh, here are a bunch of little courses of a meal, kind of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can see that, and I didn't feel negatively towards the things it was doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think also probably I'm a victim of my own hype in that I have enjoyed many. I don't know. I feel like I was, and I feel like I was anticipating it being more striking design-wise than it is, and I think that is my own fault. Like I do not think that is the game's fault. I think I was shocked that it was largely lists of the literal words that you say out loud, right? Because it's not just like a list of prompts, it's like the literal words. Right. It is the questions that you ask the other person you're talking to or the rest of the people you're talking to. And that feels also different than prompts. It feels
it's a ritual.
Yeah, recitation. Like it feels kind of, for me, it feels a little closer to like the Witch of Lindisfarne or whatever, where it's like, mm-hmm. here are some things that you're going to say out loud. And then where it goes from there, obviously that becomes a prompt once you're using it. And some of them, the debate one sounds like a hoot. Like I can see the ways in which many of them sound extremely fun to play. I would never want to play the romantic one. That sounds like a fucking nightmare to me, but that's fine.
That's one of my favorites.
It's so interesting because you're always like, more sex in games.
That's romance. It's different.
This one is, yeah, it is very different, but there's like, why can't I find it? What is it? Steal a Moment Together? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. Stealing time together.
Yeah, advances. I open your mobile frame's canopy. May I? I touch your hand. May I? Downtown town, I touch your thigh. May I? I touch your blank. May I? I loosen your clothing. I do
it's
not
like
only
the
touch,
word version
kiss
of
you.
And above, I just can't. May I?
And there's a list of specific answers that you can give. You can't, you are not supposed to answer freely. You're supposed to say you may or you may, but first I want you to blank. Will you? You may not, and let's draw a curtain upon what follows. You're not, but instead I, brackets, make an advance. May I? I like this game a lot. The game has such vibes of like a specific kind of earth aristocracy. Mm-hmm. That I think the almost dance cards I left, you know, I left my mm-hmm. visit, I visited and left my note for whatever, I'm courting you. Mm-hmm. To me, it draws that stuff up really powerfully. If that is not something you're interested in, yeah, I get why this might be kind of a whiff for you. But
I should also own that I am not a mech lover. So I feel like... I was reading this being like, oh, I probably wouldn't play this largely just because like the setting and the environment actually isn't a thing. So I was reading it largely as like, here are these little games, which I don't think also does it justice. I sound very negative. I'm not very negative. It sounds like a very fun game. It just sounds like not the game I would play. Like it's not a game where I'm like, oh, I would never play this. It's just like, I can't imagine picking it up. I'm of the, you actually have to do poppers to play your game kind of sex game, unless the Umeya touch your arm sex game, right? Like they're just, there's just a flavor of it that is not, I would not be able to get through this. Like there is like, pay me $1 million. I will not win $1 million if you say you have to play this game with a straight face or with any earnestness. I would be like, oh, never, literally never once. I will lose that $1 million. I don't even have to try.
So you're saying you may, but first I want you to do poppers, will you?
Yeah. I'm going to make my hack that is poppers, the poppers version.
I would read that. I'm excited for that.
I think it's very, it's very Princess Bride. It's extremely Princess Bride. It was Ed, which is like, I love the Princess Bride. So like, I would probably watch people play this game or maybe listen to people play this. Like that feels like it would be a fun entertainment moment.
I mean, it's Regency LARP with mechs.
And
like that may or may not be your jam. I'm also not a mech person. But I am an inveterate Friends at the Table person. So my first exposure to this was when they played it as like the kind of the climax of Counterweight, the second season. And so you've got a different, very realized world, different number of players than the game suggests, right? But like all of this like very freighted emotion in every one of these, right? Like this is a game about sort of like earnest, full-throated, melodramatic feelings. So hearing it played first and then reading it and then playing it is sort of where I came from. And it is, it's not necessarily my jam on paper. Like, I think if somebody had just handed it to me, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I'll give it a shot. But having heard it played with, like, high emotional stakes is like, oh, shit, okay, I get why this works now. And so for me, it's meeting sword to sword, stealing time together, and a tactical skirmish. Those are, like, the three. That's it. That's the slam dunk of those. Each one of those is a perfect game that I would just like go in circles with forever and ever.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there is, as with like Apocalypse World GM principles and stuff like that, that we've talked about, rules that might normally get kind of glossed over. There are some kind of dense mechanical elements at play, like in the chase. It's really well balanced to be pretty dramatic the way that you are kind of trading these tokens and the structure of challenges versus admissions. Challenges are kind of like the chasee is leading the chaser, and admissions is like the chasee is kind of fucking up or the chaser is getting closer. And I think if you play, you know, you play the solitaire game at first, and the solitaire game is just, again, a series of questions with some optional answers that you ask yourself. And then it says, if any of these answers are important, introduce them to the rest of the table after playing solitaire. And I think there is this kind of hidden structure of introducing these narrative facts that happen. That I think if you play like strictly to the rules as written, are really interesting and dramatic, but also kind of easy to lose sight of. And, you know, sort of like how you can just read a poem in 2 minutes. And if you don't think about it, you're like, that's fine. That's cool, I guess. But if you take time to like drill into it and interrogate it, it becomes this other experience. And a lot of these games have that feeling to me.
Yeah. Like, can I tell you about the one that just fucking blew my mind?
Please.
So a tactical skirmish, it's you and a chosen partner play. Decide with your chosen partner which of you is the attacker and which is the attacked. You decide how many soldiers each one of you has. It should be a number between 3 and 8. You should be prepared to identify each one by name, rank, codename, relationship to you, or position to the force. Both of you name your objectives in the skirmish. And the way it is played is trading demands until somebody submits. But what you are wagering is how fucked up your partner in the game is willing to go. It's not how fucked up am I willing to go, right? It's submit or withdraw now, or my force spreads itself too thin and you pick off blank who was straggling. So I offer this to Aaron and I say, hey, Aaron, are you willing to snipe a straggler? And Aaron can choose to either submit or withdraw or meet me with a demand. And it goes on until like submit or withdraw now or blank my least experienced soldier surrenders to your mercy. There's submit or withdraw now or you catch blank in a sharp crossfire and tear them apart. There's one where your person guts one of your soldiers. And like having the game, I am used to games that have you wager like your own stakes, right? Like submit or withdraw, or I will, shoot out 5 of your lieutenants.
I'll take your hit points away.
Exactly. Yeah. But will you continue this conflict or will you be the person who snipes someone who's trying to surrender? That's where I was like, fucking done, sold, get me in there.
Especially when you go back to the part that is, be prepared to identify each one by name, rank, codename, relationship to you, and position in your force. So SAS me, withdraw now, or my force spreads itself too thin, and you pick off blank, who is straggling. And I say, oh yeah, I'll pick off this straggling soldier. And then SA is like, oh, that's actually this person with this name, with this relationship to me. And let me describe this relationship to you and the code name and how they got this code name.
Mm-hmm. And yes, and my horrible shriek when you shoot my sister through the back of her mech.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, I just had the gutting one. Where'd it go? Oh, submit or withdraw now. Or one of your units engages blank at close quarters and carves their guts out.
I'm Iliad pilled.
submit or withdraw now.
This is extremely.
Or my force spreads itself too thin, and you pierce blank.
This is extremely the Iliad, though, right?
Below like, the right
yeah,
nipple,
yeah, below the yeah. nipple. But it, because like the funny thing, I mean, I think we're probably going to talk about this in a different context. But like, so much of that is this: every second of war, every act of war, while it makes us heroic and brave, is also a failure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And mm-hmm. and like I did like when I was reading this one, I was like, oh, that's very like it is not what you expect when you go into it. Like, it's not until you get to the list of demands that you're like, oh, there's a twist. And I really like that.
I wish, but you still hate this game.
No, I wish there was a sexy twist. I wish the sexy one felt this clever. This is very clever. There's no like, I like some of them, yeah. And I like the frame. Like, I like the overarching framework of.
It's like, actually called a mobile frame zero.
Yeah,
I was working it. I was getting there.
Refuse. I like the idea. Like, that is the thing that I want. Right? It's like pick a different, yeah. pick a game for the moment at hand, or like pick a game that focuses on what you want to focus on. So I enjoy that quite a lot.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't want to play half of them.
Do you think there is like an imaginary hack of this that's like dirty cyberpunk lower class explicit horny that is more fun to you?
Interesting. Significantly
yeah.
more interesting.
Yeah, because there have been like 100 hacks of this, so surely one of them is max flavored.
I'm sure. Even like it's half of this is fine. Like, yeah, like Regency and mech stuff does not hugely. I can't play it being upper class. I don't even, it's too far away, you know, like I'm not that imaginative.
Says the new professor.
I know, but you know,
No, I know.
Classes comes from birth, unfortunately.
Right.
but yes, that's the thing is like it. I'm always awkward in those environments. So like, fucking know what people like that think like. I don't understand. I'm the one at the university with the hand tattoos that everybody keeps staring at in every meeting. And so I like just it is just flavor where I'm like, oh, I don't know that I would know how to do any of those things. And certainly the sexy one, I'm like, oh, no, that's just a flavor of sexy things that I don't like. it's just that doesn't appeal to me in any way, shape or form.
The game does invite someone to be a revolutionary as one of the factions, which is maybe implicitly, maybe explicitly lower class compared to the landowners and the entrenched nobles of this planet. And I do think there's an interesting, again, if you play to the rules of the revolutionary solitaire, the idea that you are entering this kind of world political stage and you are stuck in these choices that you know the aristocrats make, even if they're not the ones that you would make. And again, I'm not saying like, actually, Max, you're wrong. It does allow for that. I'm saying it exemplifies kind of that upper class aristocratic demands of how people act by only giving you these certain options. And in romance, the options are somewhat conservative. In the dance, they're somewhat conservative. And then in war, you are gutting people and shooting stragglers. And, you know, I think there is a message there and a point of view. I agree that maybe it's not a place or a social class that I'm like, oh, I'm so excited to spend time with these people. But I think it's like a very conscious choice to frame things that way, to mobile frame Zero things meeting, that way.
I just want meeting sword to sword to be about dicks. Then we're fine.
Mm. I mean, it can be, right?
Yeah, like yeah.
yeah, with staying with the factions for a minute, I obviously love the aristocratic because I love to be an extra bitch.
we appreciate you.
but the one I think is really interesting. So you have the aristocrats, the landed gentry. You have the revolutionaries, the sort of grassroots opposition. And then in the middle, you have a faction that's called the landowners. So, but they're not the landowners. That would sort of have thematic overlap with the aristocrats, right? These are the soldiers who are acting on behalf of the off-worlders. And so that's such an interesting framing to me to like avoid having it be just upper versus lower class, but also to put this middle class kind of in all senses, right? Like in the middle, in between. The faction called the landowners aren't the people who actually hold the stocks in the planet. They are the people who are hired by the stockholders.
Yeah, they're coming in from off planet too. So there's a little bit of backstory, but like a valuable resource is discovered on this previously not valuable planet. And so there are these people that are like the traditional gentry. And then there are these new people that want to like mine it basically. And they are called the landowners because they have gotten rights to mine this land. Right? Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so, yeah, I think it's really... It reminds me of Fallout New Vegas and that it does try to kind of skew some of these traditional diametrically opposed, you know, upper class, lower class situations and complicate them a little bit in ways that hopefully lead to interesting play. I don't think they're saying, well, what if the gentry were good? What if the nobles mm-hmm. were good guys? It's more like, let's complicate this dichotomy by adding a third option.
When I was reading the factions, part of the faction thing is that you choose your three attractive qualities and there's a list for each faction. And for the aristocratic families, I was reading it and my eyes jumped around too much. So I read it as choose three attractive qualities. Your rich, beautiful, cultured, enthusiastic, fiery, passionate, radiant, rich, severe, strong. My brain doubled rich.
I'm just like double rich.
And I was like, is that intentional? And I had to like go back and be like, oh no, that was me. I did that. You can't just choose rich twice.
I'm playing in a game of Deadlands, the Savage Worlds one, and you can pick double rich in that game. And I think that's very funny. Like, I think as a game design choice. Also, the Star Wars Saga Edition, which is like a D20 one, you could, one of the classes was noble. And one of the abilities you could pick was just, you are super fucking rich. Like, you always have what you need to pay for whatever's at hand. And you get this extra set of credits, money piped in every session or whatever. And I love that in a game. Or like some games have like wealth as a stat. I'm also always into that. So my Mobile Friends Duo Firebrands hack is you can be double rich.
There's one faction that's just rich, rich, rich.
Yeah. So I know what faction I'm attached to. And if we forced Max at gunpoint to pick a faction, I think they go with the revolutionaries. Aaron, what faction are you?
I mean, I think I would pick the aristocracy, the Bantra-esh. I don't know how you say it. The landowners just like gross me out in every way. Whereas the Bantra-esh, the aristocrats, you know, there's a Grey Gardens vibe to it that appeals to me. The Leopard, which I've previously talked about, this Italian novel about like the last Italian nobles. Dune, which is going to be my appendix N pick, but I'm not going to say it because I have sworn never to recommend Dune to anyone.
Also, you
just the idea of these sort of nobles who have previously been doing so well, now kind of under threat and having to reassess this system that they've made, to me is like a very gameable background or quality.
I mean, I don't hate them. I feel like I'm fine with the Bantra-esh. I find it really weird that their mobile frame is called a chub, though. I gotta say.
Yeah, that's upsetting. I'm not here for that.
I meet you chub to chub.
What? Well, yeah. No, and then Max is back on.
Yeah. See, now I'm good. I'm here.
I assume the mobile frame names are a reference to the quote unquote base game, but maybe not. I would like the idea of Vincent and Meg being like, what do we name these robots? How about Chubbs? Just about out Chubbs? Of nowhere. Yeah,
I think, I mean, I also like, we've talked about this before, but like, I like the solitaire bit. I like that you can kind of like play solitaire all the time.
Yeah, it is recommended if you're not in one of the games, you play solitaire.
Yeah, which is kind of fun that there's a little bit, because I could see somebody that's not me. I don't know. I don't know why I'm fighting with strawmen, but I can see somebody being like, well, what do you mean it's only one person versus one person for some of the games?
Yeah.
What are the rest of us supposed to do? And I like that there's this like, oh, two people are softly looking at one another's eyes and boring. I'm going to play with myself over here.
Well, and one of the cool things is then they say expressly, like, if you play solitaire because you're not included in one of those games and something interesting happens, report back to the group. And so like the landowners, one of the solitaire questions is, you've been drilling maneuvers with your squad, ... And one of the answers is, and they showed excellent discipline and team spirit. So the idea that like, oh, you two were off dancing, meanwhile, I'm here to report that my landowner fucking death squad is ready to kick some ass, that might inform then the next game that you choose, or the game that I choose, if I am like, now I'm going to pick Free For All and I have established that my squad are Stone Cold Killers. I think that kind of setting of the fiction, establishment of the fiction, is kind of a funny way to be like, oh, you left me out of your game? Cool. I have an army now.
I think I really like about solitaire. So it's set up as a question, and then each question has like three possible answers. And it's each one of them differs in how well things are going for you. And like a predictable, like there's a good, there's a complicating, and then there's like a, whew, that's rough. So for the Bantra-esh, the nobles, you've been entertaining interloping off-worlders in your family estate, and they've proven gracious and easygoing, and you're warming to them. And they've been thoughtlessly presumptuous with your best goods, and they've been treating you like a servant. So you have options from like, okay, yeah, things are going well. We're like making some alliances to like, oh, fuck them. I'm fixing to fight to like, oh, this is bad. This has broken bad. And I like that each question has a choice. You choose your own adventure of like how well things are going for you.
Yeah, I feel like there's some nice potential moments. Maybe this is just, again, with the sexy one whose name, Stealing Time Together.
Losing Time Together is the Catholic way of like, are you sure you want to have sex? That's just a big waste of time unless you're going to have a baby.
They don't even have sex. The best you can do is like a kiss. this whole fucking thing is just maybe a kiss. Whatever. But that you also...
I mean, there is I touch your blank, may I?
I guess there is, yes. Also, only ever good if you say I touch your blank.
I mean, it's the future. I'm not making any presumptions.
Right. It's a fucking Ken doll situation down there and I'm into it.
Or like, I don't know, did you put your dick on today? Like, I'm not, we'll find out.
That's not the future, that's just now.
I touch your USB port.
Yeah, but there's always a chance that you can get caught. And I like the idea that like if you are having an illicit romance that and somebody else is playing their solitaire and their solitaire leads them to a moment where they're like, hey, I'm gonna maybe I am the person who catches you and I've just found out that my squad is really murderous or whatever.
Yeah, at any time after the third exchange, any player may interrupt you by having someone else enter the scene. If there's a risk that you'll be caught together, then any player may, after an answer, have you throw, flip a coin on tails. You're discovered or exposed. It's good.
Yeah.
It's a fun balance of like, I want this selfish moment between me and this other player. No one else can join in, unlike a lot of other games where if you're at dinner or at a dance, maybe it's kind of one-on-one, but there's other people participating. It's fun. It's tense. It's good.
Yeah, I can like see all the goodness that is in there. And I'm not even saying I wouldn't play it. I do think I was just broadsided by my own expectations and or how it was presented to me. I feel like frequently I've been like, I would like a tactical like map game, and then I would like a story game for this section, and then I'd like some dungeon crawling over here, and people have been like, Firebrands, and I'm like, it does none of those things. So how about
yeah? Well, I mean, so technically Mobile Frame Zero, the other games, whatever they're called, Fast Attack, Blunt Damage, what are they called? Rapid Attack, Intercept Orbit. There's other ones, and they have at the end ways to incorporate them all together.
Yeah, like alternate playing Firebrands, Rapid Attack, and Intercept Orbit. So like, I know I've been one of the people who's like, oh, isn't that Firebrands? But I meant that as like in terms of like, oh, this is intended to sort of cycle in between more crunchy tactical games.
Yes.
Not like Firebrands by itself does this thing.
That makes sense. That makes more sense as a framing for the recommendation. Because
mobile frame.
The name is really bad. Can we just own that the name is so horrible?
Yeah, it sucks.
The name, the layout, it's the juices in the actual words. Everything else maybe should be ignored. I do want to play a Lego game though. So
have you looked at the models for the base game? I keep calling it the base game. I don't know if base game is the right word.
Do you mean Rapid Attack? Do you mean the little Lego Rapid Attack guys?
Yeah,
they're so cute.
They're so good.
They're so cute.
Have you seen them?
I'll send a
link to the chat.
Yes.
Yeah, look at these. Look at these little guys. I mean, this everyone makes me more interested. Everyone go to
mobileframezero.com/mfz right now.
Yeah. You can see what we're seeing. Zero spelled out, not the numeral.
Yes, thank you.
Oh!
Wow.
They're fucking pride colored!
Yeah, there are a couple. There are also a couple trans-colored ones. Also, one of them is just a dinosaur.
Yes.
Called Mantis King. Just a dinosaur.
Well, I think that's the user that contributed.
Is it?
This? Yeah, down here, I believe these link to like people's... Oh, my computer's being their a house jerk rules right now.
Yeah, yeah, my own factions. They're like and own Mecha. They're like, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Because multiple of them are tagged with Mantis King. Look at this little chubby trooper. That's kind of that's a just chub. Above. Oh, yeah, fair. You know, fair. Just above the Yusel Kits, right? Heading, and just like a chubby little guy.
It's a chubby little guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. The funny thing is, I don't find mechs very interesting, but I do find robots fun. And so if I just pretend that there's not a gross fleshy human in these, they're perfect.
Maybe there's like a mind transfer situation going on.
Yeah, they're just when they're just like sad little robots, I'm all about it. Yeah, it's the humans that are the problem, the problematic part of mechs.
As usual. Max, do you know what the most problematic part of a mech is?
The fucking pilot.
Oh. Wow.
I'm high-fiving Aaron.
Yeah, we're high-fiving over here.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm like this. I know why I'm like this, and I'm sorry.
That is a reference to, was it Partisan?
Road to Partisan, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I just listened to that one a couple days ago.
Friends at the table.net.
So fucking good. So at me any time of the day. So fucking good.
I am of the controversial Discord opinion that people should edit their APs down.
Did you say their IPs?
APs. APs. Oh.
I think the funny thing is, I think Friends at the Table is heavily and skillfully edited, and they still come out to be
still too long.
I mean, the majority of them truly are about an hour and a half.
Under 2 hours, yeah.
Yeah. It's just like the big set pieces and finales and things. But to shift gears a tiny bit, I've facilitated play with this. And I did run into something that I sort of wish, I don't know if there's a way to solve it. But there was like a little bit of hiccup in play, which I introduced only because I'd like starting shit. That's not true at all. I'm medium conflict averse. But I found it. So I was playing with, there were six of us total. So we had two people per faction. And it was a group that hadn't all played together before, and some of the people even hadn't met each other before. And we ended up finding it difficult to land on a consistent tone. And so we had this sort of clash where, for instance, the outcome of some of the outcomes of the armed conflicts, it's like decide together with your partner. And in the absence of something like dice or hit points, we found it really difficult to settle on, like, oh, is this like a cartoon fight where we're like, we bonk each other on the heads and then like fall over? Is this a I spear you through the chest and like blood drips onto your lover's face, right? Like, is this, where are we? And I don't know that there's a solve for that, but I just like, that is one thing that I think games with too few guardrails, I think that this does a really, really, really fucking good job of getting like 90% of the way with guardrails. Like it has a flavor. It has a vibe. It is directing you. It's giving you prompts. It's giving you scripts, right? Like, I think it does so much support. And obviously way better than I could do, because I'm not a games designer. But yeah, the one thing that I sort of like, that we floundered with was with people who aren't familiar with each other, like finding our mutual tone space.
Yeah, the idea of meeting someone for the first time and be like, okay, I choose this game where you might gut me, you might sniper me, is really, or you might, you know, move my hair out of my eye and kiss me. Like, those are heavy, difficult things. Those are hard for me to do with people I know well, love or kill them. So the idea of doing it to a stranger, for me, is more difficult. For certain people, maybe is more easy, but I think you're right. Like, the idea of like putting a page of like a rating system or something like that, you know, like GPG is what I meant.
Yeah. Like, and like, I mean, we did, yeah. Like, I'm not a barbarian, right? Like, we did a little bit of sort of like,
I'm not a revolutionary either.
What am I, a poor person? No, like, I mean, and I did like some scene, some like ground rules, like, okay, here are safety rules. Like, broadly, we don't expect, you know, the sex to get any more explicit than this. We don't want to describe the violence sort of any more than this. But like, even with that, like, there's so much range in like how much comedy is in this, right? In a way that's really hard to capture until you're kind of in it and you're like, oh, we're not exactly playing the same game here. It's like I was playing an aristocrat, a like fucking ruthless, bloodthirsty, like needed to be pulled back from the brink, like in a psychosexual relationship with her childhood best friend, driving her mentor's mech with like a single bullet hole through the windshield. Fucking rules. Shout outs.
That's good.
Oh, I'm still really attached to that character. And then, like, one of the people playing the revolutionaries was, like, planning a political wedding between any two people who would stand still long enough. it was like, these are not the same vibe. These are not the same vibe. We're not aligned on this. And it wasn't a bad game. Like, we had fun. It was just that, like, then when he and I were in a scene together, we really struggled to work together to find a conclusion. Like, not out of argument or because one of us was trying to win, but because like, oh, we were just in different zones,
which is like weirdly realistic. Like that's the way the world is as well.
Yeah.
But I agree that like, yeah, it can be hard to resolve that.
I'm gonna sneeze, so I'm trying not to say anything. The it just like keeps threatening, and so I keep not saying anything. I was gonna bring this up when we were talking about Dream Askew last time. Scene-based games terrify me. Don't know why. Scene-based games, my nemesis. And I can't even like fully articulate what makes a scene-based game. Because like arguably all games are kind of scene-based, but like there's something about pick a scene you want to have and then make it happen.
Right. There's no rule in like, dungeon crawl classics. It's like after you cast the spell, resolve the scene and stage a new one kind of thing.
Well, and it's like, I think that was a big part of like Dream Askew is that it says like, make this scene. Like a number of PBTA games do it. And I don't know why I always find it upsetting. Like I don't, it's like once you're playing and once you're in the scene, it's going, it's fine. It's not that it doesn't work. It's that I always find it really stressful when games frame it like, and then pick a scene you want to have happen. And I feel like it's because sometimes when I'm playing role-playing games, I don't know about y'all, but I actually like don't want equal distribution of attention often. And I don't mean like I want to exclude people, although sometimes that's also true. What I mean is that like as a player, I don't necessarily want exactly a sixth of the stage.
Right.
Like sometimes as a player, I want to spend a whole session not doing a whole lot. And I always kind of want it to be a little bit more natural than that. Or like free flowing than that. And I feel like every time I played a scene based game, it's always like, oh, well, Max, you haven't been in a scene for a hot minute. So what do you want to have happen? Is how it always comes up. And I'm always like, I'm enjoying the show or I'm listening to it or I'm figuring out what my character might want or whatever. And there's something I have no idea what it is. This may be a thing that nobody experiences except me. But I've always found that when they are this like distinct moments, these kind of discrete sections of play, there's always this like, I guess it's specifically when it isn't everybody's involved. It's like,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I always find it a little weird.
Not to psychoanalyze.
oh, I'm excited. Where's this going?
But no, I like, is that the same thing or come from the same place as like, I know that you don't like acting, right? Like you don't like embodying your character, yeah. And improv. Like this, like scene based feels like the distillation of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. Like, it does seem to manifest in games that are much closer to, like, LARP or party games. Like, this feels like mm-hmm. a parlor LARP when I was reading it. I'm not necessarily saying it plays that way, but that's definitely how it reads.
Yeah, I think it describes itself as a party game. And in the setup, it says, like, give your character a name. It can be the same as your name.
Yeah.
Which, whew, that's a recipe for bleed if I ever heard one. But
I'm also pro bleed, so, you know, that's which is contentious. I understand, but yeah, I think it is. I do think that the framing of that, which is funny, because like this is like this in theory should be a comforting version of that because it does literally tell you what to say.
And it also says, like, pick a scene with someone. Other characters may be present there if they want. So, you know, there could be a scene with romance or a dance or a meal, and you could just be like, don't ask me. I'm not at this meal. Like, I don't care.
I think it might be I have an unsubstantiated. That's probably not how I actually want to use that word, but
unsubstantiated?
That's the Eric. Thank you.
Transubstantiation.
Oh, that one too. Let's get Catholic.
Fear sometimes. And this might be because a lot of my play experience is in environments that have like a referee or a GM or whatever. Where I don't, well, one, I don't hugely love being called upon in that way. Yes, that is a thing that I don't love. I also don't often feel like when called upon in scene-based games in those environments, especially if it's by another player, I feel fully confident in saying no. And so, like, could definitely see myself playing this game, especially if I didn't know people really well, and somebody would be like, oh, I want to have this scene with Max. And I'd be like, oh, now I have to fucking do this scene. Even if I didn't want, you know, like, I've had those moments in play where I'm like, it would be rude of me to say no, but I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. And there's something, and maybe that's just like, never in any of the games have I read is there like a little bit of a section that says like, if you don't want to participate in this, right? Like just putting forward, well, name the scene you want to have with another player doesn't actually cover. Yeah, but what if that other player doesn't want to have this fucking scene with you? You know, like that's mm-hmm. not, especially in a game where you're like, yeah, I want to have a romance or I want to have a murder or whatever, you know, like I would like to have a murder scene with you. And you're like, no, I don't really want that. Because the reality is that like usually when we're playing games, like, and I think this is on a lot of people to just get better at hearing no. But it is always kind of hard to hear no when you say I want something, right? Like that's not like a fun position to ever be in. So when somebody's like, oh, it would be really cool if we could have these two characters do this thing. And somebody's like, nah, no thanks. And so I do kind of wish there was a little bit in all scene games, not just this one, a little bit of a chat about like what happens if somebody really wants this path for their character. Because it's reliant specifically on a player picking another player, mm-hmm. right? As opposed to like, you know, that is part of the safety net of GMs and referees where you're like, I'd like this arc for my character. And it doesn't rely on another player's buying into their character participating in that arc. It's like, that's why we have NPCs and we just throw them in or whatever. And I always just find it a little nerve wracking. I think that is a large part of my fear of scene-based games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, like, that makes total sense. I was actually, weirdly enough, like, 3 hours ago talking to a friend of mine about saying no to things like this, right? Like, he is somebody who is not really afraid of saying no. Like, if he doesn't enjoy a conversation, he'll just turn and walk away. And I'm like, damn.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I could learn something. From this very strange socialization that you had growing up. But I think that, like, yes, I absolutely, as much as like, I want to say, like, oh, but, you know, when you're with people you trust, then, like, you can just say no and everybody holds hands. And that is like my experience in part because like I'm very careful about who I play games with or how much of myself I bring to the table if I'm playing with people I don't super know. And like the problem solving part of me wants to say like, practically it kind of works out, because if you haven't been in a lot of scenes, then people tend not to ask you for the really intimate scenes, right? Like if a character hasn't had a lot of interaction with your character, they typically won't ask for the romance scene. But none of that, but that's all like implicit social rules, right? Like you're right that there isn't anything written in the game to support like, hey, you might ask somebody something and they might not super know how to handle a direct question like that. Or like, hey, you know, if somebody asks and somebody says no, work together to find a game you would both like to play. Or if somebody asks you to play a scene and you don't want to, say pass and work on a solitude instead, right? Like it could provide support in a way that it doesn't.
Yeah. The version I'm looking at says you can choose any game you want. Blah, blah, blah. You can choose any player you want, but keep in mind which players have gotten to play more games and which have gotten to play fewer, mm-hmm. which is almost expressly saying if people haven't played a lot of scenes,
call on them.
I think there is some stuff maybe, you know, I think you're right. I would love a sentence about if you don't want to be in a scene and you're called on it. I don't know, something, something. I think there is maybe in a solitaire game in Revolution some way of kind of saying like, oh, every time I'm not in a scene, I do the solitaire thing and I'm talking about my awesome sword I'm making. Don't pick me for a romance scene kind of thing. But then mm-hmm. sword's a sword, a semi-romantic, like, I don't know. Yeah, I would love one extra little bit about that.
I don't know why it's me in scene-based games. It happened, it came up. The first time I experienced the fear of scene-based games was when I played Blood Feud, which is, to be fair, I had a great time. But it's very same. It has the same kind of pick a scene with character, like, and lay out the characters you want present in the scene and what they're. It's a little bit more like, you know, describe the scene you want to have happen. So it's less structured than like pick one of these games. And I absolutely would feel comfortable being like, absolutely not. Will I have sexy scene times with you or whatever? Mm-hmm. But I think I'd feel bad about it. I'd say no, yeah. And then I'd feel bad.
I feel like there's almost it's not a paradox, but like there's something about like if you are in a space that you. Some spaces like Blood Feud where you're like, this is about gender and where like my defenses are up and like I feel more able to be like rough and tumble with like, nah, fuck you. Versus something like I think that Firebrands, whether it intends to be or not, is a very soft queer game. It's a very Tumblr queer game. And as a Tumblr queer, as a queer who is soft, although not a soft queer uwu. It is much harder to bring conflict to a space that feels like it should be defenses down. It should all be soft underbellies. I think that it is harder not just to bring your own vulnerability, but it becomes harder to use your boundaries in a way that is like, yeah, like paradoxically, right? Like it's easier to say no when you're like, all right, do I have to fight? I'm sitting, I'm like bouncing in my chair, right? Like, am I, do I got to be defensive? I'm up, I'm here. Versus like a game that is about being tender and about connection. It can feel icky when somebody's like, oh, here's my soft heart. Would you like to put yours next to it? And you're like, nah, fuck you.
Here's my knife.
Okay, but that rules though.
Yeah, 100. I'm here for that one. Mm-hmm.
Play easy, play fair, and always let the other players make their own decisions for themselves. I'm still looking for a rule where they're like, let people pass. Try to get your character into messy entanglements with others. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, I get that that's just what the game is asking, and so I don't even know if it's like, you know, is this a me problem, or is this...
Well, and it's not... I mean, I think part of it is it's not a problem. It's a perfectly normal preference. I think that if the three of us played this game, we would have a fine time, and Max would hopefully feel okay saying, oh, I'm not into this scene or whatever. But again, at a convention, playing this with strangers, it would just be like, ugh, no thank you.
It would. I feel like if we played it the entire time, I say it would be like, hey, Max, let's do the weird sex stuff. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. No dare.
Max hitting me with a broom, like, stop, get out. How did you get in here?
Please stop asking to touch my hair.
It's getting weird, okay? Yeah, no, my dirty secret is that I'm actually extremely fucking bashful when it comes to role play. Like, I turned into a total 1800s, like, fainting maiden when I'm like, I guess we could hold hands.
And that's one thing I like about this is, like, it is very, baby, it's cold outside, of just, like, mm-hmm. we will never say, I want to sleep in the bed with you. We will always say, I reach for your hair. May I, you know, someone mm-hmm. else is looking at us. They might interrupt. And again, it creates that certain sense of, you know, Western, often white, often heterosexuality that teems with this tension, these entanglements, but is maybe not the fantasy that certain people want to play in. We're at 1 hour.
We did it.
I want to end the podcast. May I?
No.
Yes, but. Shit, fuck. All right. This game does not support polyamory. Get us patch notes immediately. But yeah. my last thing on this is I was sunk. I was sold by the tagline, right? It's fight with your friends, ally with your rivals, fall in love with your enemies. Which I know that that's goofy. I know that that's like a little silly and trite, but like, fuck it. That's it. That is the kind of like, oh, create interesting situations that are unexpected. Like take whatever you're supposed to do and then do something and then fuck it up. That I just like, yeah, put me in, coach.
And similar to Dream Askew, Dream Apart, it admits the kind of realistic sense of community building and struggle of like that is sort of absent in some of the ooh-woo Tumblr utopian thinking of like, if we just do this one thing, everything's fine and no one will have to do any conflict again. This instead is saying conflict is ever present. Figure out ways to engage in it. That helps. I don't know. Do we want to do Appendix N? I gave mine out and I regret them.
You have to pick a new one now.
I got nothing. I'm dog sitting again, so I'm not even at my house. I can't look at my bookshelf. I turn around. I'm at my friend's house, and on the bookshelf are copies of Dune.
It's following you. It's following the patriarchy. You. It's coming from inside the house.
I definitely don't. I can't even think of like a single thing that involves a Mac. I realize it doesn't have to be a Mac. I'm so far removed from mech culture that I'm like, what even is mech?
It's so funny to me because this game does, you could play this game 100 times and never invoke a mech.
Yes. But the frames.
Max, would you like to recommend Emily Wilson's Iliad instead?
Would I? I mean, it does feel like if you want to play at least the tactical skirmish, you should, that if you want to read a 24 book poem of a playthrough of a tactical skirmish game,
to me it feels like Iliad. A playthrough of this, not the tactical skirmish. They go to dinner, they steal time together, give speeches to crowds that decide who wins. I changed my answer to Emily Wilson's The Iliad.
It's good, though. It's good.
Yeah.
I feel like it has, I mean, I do feel like it has all the elements of this, although, and it does obscure the fact that clearly all those men are fucking each other. So
I think, this is maybe Iliad Book Club. We'll talk about it. I feel like they're using the language that they had then to say, yeah, they're all fucking each other. Yeah,
these dudes are fucking each other, for sure. But that, like, that is, like, I feel like that's so much of that chasteness in this is, yeah, but, like, then it's fading to black or whatever, you know? Like, it's not, I don't know. I feel like that shorthand is present everywhere. But yeah, go read the Iliad and then come talk to us about it, because we're going to talk about it more. in the
hell yeah, you can't get rid of me.
Yeah, more Iliad, maybe in the Patreon, so at least normal people don't have to hear us talking about the Iliad.
I'm gonna kind of follow up the theme here. My recommendation is something I've already talked about and will never stop talking about. Friends at the Table. In particular, like the lead up to Partisan, which is the season that directly precedes the current season, not chronologically in the feed. There's one in between, but like their current season picks up exactly where the previous one left off, Partisan. It is really like a bunch of people who care a lot about like what are mech stories doing? What stories are we telling when we're telling stories about robots? What kind of power are we talking about when we talk about like climbing into a machine? What does politics look like in the far, 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 far like Star Wars style future if we actually paid attention and we actually cared about how politics intersect with each other? It is, what if Star Wars was done in like a really thoughtful, politically minded, like realist socialist way? And so that's my pitch.
Also, Partisan features my most hateable, lovable character I've ever listened to someone else play, Clementine Kesh.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of hating Clementine Kesh.
See, I'm like, I want to read that. But I'm not gonna.
We got transcripts, baby.
They do have transcripts.
Oh, I'm not gonna read a transcript.
Do you want me to edit the transcript into?
Mm-hmm.
All right, podcast over. Find us in the Discord to talk about this and the Iliad, and that's it.
I talk shit, but I am on Tumblr. You can find me at Citrus and Salt. Citrus like the fruit, and spelled out, salt like the sea.
Anything else, Max? We done?
Max's headphones died. We have to end without them.
All right.
They peaced out. They're done.
We're clicking leave. Goodbye, right. Everyone.
Bye.